Viruses are all over. There are some viruses that are acclimated to live in people. There are some viruses that are acclimated to live in all different kinds of animals. Viruses use proteins to kind of hook onto the cells of their hosts. And if you're a virus, you want to be able to infect your host, but not immediately kill them. You want to keep them alive at least for a little bit so that you can make copies of yourself. That's how viruses perpetuate and kind of mutate as they reproduce. They pick up these little tiny genetic changes, and over time, the virus can accumulate enough little changes that they affect how it behaves or its ability to infect its host. They kind of adapt to their surroundings over time. So a virus can adapt to a main animal host and just through interactions in the environment kind of adapt to a different kind of animal, which includes people.
The debate over the origin of COVID-19 is heating up. Yesterday, President Biden announced he's giving the U.S. intelligence community 90 days to produce a report on the subject, which could have major implications for U.S. relations with China.
It's important to know the origins of a virus scientifically because, for example, if you know that the original SARS lives in this one kind of bat and it can affect civets, and civets are sold in wet markets throughout Asia, then maybe you decide that you really don't want to be selling civets in wet markets in Asia because the civet is the connector between the bat and the people. So you want to keep an eye on that to kind of figure out how to avoid those spillover events and to work on things like potential vaccines and treatments. One reason that the mRNA vaccines were developed so quickly is because they bounced off work that had been done to try and develop a vaccine for the original SARS.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, Lauren Morello on the investigation into COVID-19's origin, the possibility of a lab leak, and the probability that it came from an animal. So, Lauren, how exactly do you figure out where a virus came from?
I mean, you start at the beginning. You try to find the earliest cases you can.
Uh-huh.
You hope that there are blood samples stored somewhere from those people when they were sick. You interview people who were sick early on, you interview people at the wet market, you interview people at the Virology Institute, because there is this small possibility of a lab leak. You kind of just keep trying to unravel the ball of thread. And at the same time, you know, you want to be looking at, in this case, bats, because we know that coronaviruses circulate in bats. And China is one of the countries where those bats live. So, you probably want to go out and sample some bats and see what viruses you find in them and keep looking. But often this is a process that takes years, if not decades.
Wow.
Like, it just takes, you know, painstaking detective work.
So you mentioned looking at animals in the investigation and also looking at the Virology Institute in Wuhan, China. There's been a theory gaining traction recently that it may have accidentally leaked from the lab there. But you said there's just a small possibility of that scenario. Why is that? And what do we know at this point about these different theories of the origin of COVID?
I think the biggest issue is just that we don't have a lot of good information either way still, and the pandemic has been going on for a year and a half. This idea that an infected animal could have infected a human is something that scientists call spillover, and it's pretty common, and it's becoming more common as people develop areas that used to be wild and kind of get more up close and personal to animals that are carrying viruses that might be able to make the leap. Like in the last 20 years, there have been two other coronaviruses, the original SARS and another one called MERS, that made the jump from animals to people.
So this is something that would not at all be unique to COVID-19 if it were how it originated.
Yeah, I mean, spillover happens all the time. HIV is a virus that came from monkeys. And, you know, the first Ebola case was diagnosed in people in 1976. And scientists still haven't absolutely nailed down which species is the animal reservoir, but they think it's bats. And there's a lot of really good circumstantial evidence. So viruses spilling over is not, it's not uncommon. Mm-hmm. That said, though, China has kind of blocked investigations, and they were very quick to say, you know, the new coronavirus, SARS-2, it's linked to this wet market, this live animal market in Wuhan. And that doesn't seem to be the case, but the Chinese have really blocked efforts to investigate where the virus did come from. So that makes people suspicious.
But it sounds to me like you're saying, even though there is suspicion and there are intelligence officials in the U.S. saying a lab leak is a possibility, this most likely is a case of spillover from an animal.
Yeah, I mean, most scientists out there who have expertise in virology think that a spillover in animal to human transmission is the most likely event. But they also say that you can't rule out a lab leak, even though they think it's a low probability. And part of the reason we can't rule it out is because China has not really been forthcoming with information. For example, the Trump administration put together this kind of dossier of information. And one of the things it noted was that three researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, a science facility in the city where the virus emerged, got sick with symptoms that could be consistent with COVID, but also are consistent with things like flu back in November 2019. So it sounds really suggestive, but Wuhan is a bigger city than New York. The Wuhan Institute of Virology is pretty sizable. So three people out of everyone that works there is not a smoking gun. What you'd want to see is, were these people ever tested for COVID? Are there blood samples from them that we could test now? And, you know, China has just not been willing or able to provide that kind of information that you'd want for an investigation like this.
With that uncertainty, President Biden earlier this week said he's calling for intelligence agencies to redouble their efforts to figure out the origin of the virus. And Biden himself noted that there are two likely scenarios here, the animal possibility and the lab leak possibility. And I mean, looking back to a year ago or so when you had Trump and his allies claiming the virus came from a lab, that was widely dismissed at the time. But now you have Biden and the intelligence community saying it's possible. What do you make of the politics of this? And is this an I told you so moment?
I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. You know, during the early days of the pandemic, a lot of Republicans and the Trump administration were pushing this lab leak idea, but they had kind of coupled it with the idea that the virus had been purposely engineered as a bioweapon, and genetic studies of the virus just absolutely put that idea to rest. The virus doesn't have the features you would see. It doesn't have kind of like the big chunks of added or missing genetic code. It is not like really optimized to people. You know, it infects us, but it's really not as bad as it could have been. And it doesn't have some of the features that somebody trying to make a bad virus would put in there. So I think that, you know, people just, scientists, others really didn't want to talk about the lab leak possibility last year because it would fuel these kind of, you know, really unsupported ideas that this was kind of a purposeful leak. You know, the World Health Organization sent a team over to China to investigate the origins of the virus, and that team largely got shut out by the Chinese. And I think that's motivated a lot of people who think spillover is most likely, but can't rule a lab leak out, to push for a bigger investigation. And, you know, the Biden administration has backed that in addition to launching this intelligence investigation. But it is true that China hawks on the Hill and the former Trump officials are also really pulling for an investigation. I mean, our reporting suggests that some of that at least is tied to their frustration that, you know, Biden hasn't laid out a fuller China policy. So as with everything in Washington, it's just really messy and complicated the further you dig.
Before I let you go, just because this is, you know, being talked about so much right now, if you had to explain to someone who is saying, I told you so here, who is arguing that this did come from a lab leak, not an animal, like you said, is probably the case. If you had to explain to them why they're probably wrong, how would you do that?
Because there are tons of people just out there living their lives in this part of China, where development has increased, where we know that there are bats that carry other coronaviruses, including the closest known relative that we've ever found to SARS-2, and that the researchers at the Wuhan lab had not published any research on the coronavirus that is infecting people now. They've published on the closest known relative, but it's like 96% similar to the current coronavirus, and it doesn't have, like, that all the differences are in the proteins that would bind to the human cell. The close relative just can't infect people, so it's actually pretty different. As a basis of comparison, like, chimps and humans are even more similar. They're like 98 or 99% similar.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, very small percentages make a big difference when you're talking about genomes. Mm-hmm. So it just, you know, it's possible, but some of the things that would make it more likely are not things that we've seen yet.
Lauren Morello, thanks so much for talking with me.
It was great to talk to you.
Also today, California is planning to hand out a whopping $116.5 million in vaccine incentives, including $1.5 million in cash prizes. Governor Gavin Newsom announced the move on Thursday as part of an effort to get more shots in arms before the state's June 15th reopening date. Other states have also offered big payouts, like New York, which is giving out scratch-off tickets for the chance to win up to $5 million. But California's is the largest to date. And Senate Democrats are panning Republicans' latest counteroffer on infrastructure, signaling that a bipartisan agreement remains far out of reach. On Thursday, Republicans released a $928 billion proposal that includes $506 billion for roads and bridges, $98 billion for public transit systems, $46 billion for passenger and freight rail, and more. But it remains far off from the White House's latest proposal of $1.7 trillion. While the counteroffer will likely prolong discussions, the Biden administration and Senate Republicans still face serious roadblocks, including the total cost, the definition of infrastructure, and how to pay for it. Today's episode included music composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. The Politico Dispatch team includes senior producer Jenny Ament and executive producer Irene Noguchi. And just a heads up, we're going to be away on Monday, but we'll be back with new episodes on Tuesday. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.